Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Hey, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Brown.
Yes!
Somewhere in the darkness is JT Holton.
I'm coming back to the light. Don't worry.
What you up to, JT? How's your day been?
Where'd JT's video feed go?
I think he...
Don't worry. I'm rejoining. My connection was disrupted because someone in my house is watching One Tree Hill.
Oh, gotcha.
What a loser.
Yeah. Is that like a porn remake, or is that just like the original?
No. Listen, One Tree Hill is a terrible show. It's god awful. There are actually, I counted, several trees in this town.
What a terrible liar. Liars.
On the outset, right there. It's dumb, and it's just the stupidest.
It does have one of my favorite actors in it, though. It has actually
Chad Michael Murray
has two of my favorite actors in it, because, and what's hilarious about it is their names are reversed on One Tree Hill from the show that they are actually good in, and that is Supernatural. You have Dean and Sam from the show Supernatural. Sam is actually Dean in One Tree Hill. My wife informed me of that. I've never actually watched a single episode of One Tree Hill, but my wife informed me of that.
Good save. Yeah,
I was working on that. Make sure.
You have the television taste of a 15-year-old.
I love Supernatural.
Back in my singer-songwriter days when I was trying to be, like, real.
2018?
I really wanted a song on One Tree Hill because, like, everybody else did in my space, which is, like, the really low space. Like, they would put anybody on there. Like, I knew this guy named Tyler James who got a song on there. I think Matthew Perryman Jones got a song on there. I really wanted a song on there, but it never happened. Matthew Perryman Jones.
You could have been Gavin DeGraw.
Yeah.
I don't want to be anything other than what I mean.
Did either of you guys ever watch Supernatural?
No.
At all? Oh, come on, you missed out. Like, I know you're not really like sci-fi geeks, but it's actually a really good show. They have like an entire 5-minute montage of him lip-syncing Carry On My Wayward Song from in the back of his car. It's wonderful.
I didn't get UPN on my TV.
I think I speak on behalf of everybody and JT in saying this. The only things you have good taste in, Ken, are podcast hosts, whiskey, and a little bit of music, but then it gets kind of
college football teams.
That's about it. So, like, when you tell us to watch a show, we're not going to watch that show.
Look,
Kenny, you're the person that said I could make a top 10 favorite albums list just off Carmen.
I said, no. That is not what I said, JT. That is not what I said. I said
Carmen couldn't list his 10 favorite Carmen albums.
Based off my childhood, I could have listed 10 albums that influenced me that were all Carmen.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
They weren't necessarily my favorites.
Oh, my God.
One or two might make the list, though.
Stop.
You know, Supernatural is actually basically the whole plot of that show is if Josh Brown and JT Holton were single and decided to fight evil. Like, seriously, that's pretty much the premise of that show.
You're giving us a lot of credit here because, what's his name? Jensen Ackles?
Yeah, he's a much better looking man than either of you. Look good enough to be those two guys, but
yeah, that's okay. Yeah, right. Thank you. That's a big asterisk. Yeah.
But personality wise, I'm just saying it would be like Josh Brown and JT decided to take on hell itself, literally, and heaven as well, and just fight them all. That's
so basically, if Supernatural was two ugly guys,
yeah. Pretty much. Okay. I mean, look, the car those guys drive around in. Look, you have to respect it. It's the 1967 Chevrolet Impala. That's what they fight evil with. Is a 1967 Chevrolet Impala. I mean, does it get That's pretty sweet. Legit.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
That's basically what Nate Dogg and Warren G did in the Regulate music video.
Nailed it. There you go. It's like
if they beat up bad guys in the 67
Yeah, and let's see, one of them goes actually to hell. That'd be Josh probably. And the other one ends up like being possessed by evil angel.
I don't know what y'all are talking about.
It's a good show. Fellas, I also, the reason I was a few minutes late to the show tonight was I fixed my own dinner. My wife is, she says she's given up her spatula so that I am now the cook around the house.
Oh, I'll send you some videos. I got you, man. You can do this.
I don't need any videos. I'm a pretty good cook. Tonight, I made cube steak with fried squash and some rice and some. Of course, you know, tonight I went the cheap way out and used some Mrs. Freshley's rolls, you know, the bag rolls. Those things are, they're strong. They're strong.
Good. I eat the whole thing.
Yeah, simple but strong.
I just stay away. I've been staying away from potatoes, fries, bread, because I will eat an entire thing of those rolls. They're not King. Mrs. Freshley's are good. They're not King's Hawaiian.
Yeah.
But they're King's up there, Hawaiian, and I'll eat the entire
I have like
package.
A very narrow spectrum for when I actually use King's Hawaiian, though. Like, I don't eat King's Hawaiian with anything. And that's, I don't know, maybe it's just me and like the way I grew up with them. So
I do when I get a lunch thing at Publix, like the chicken fingers.
I can see that. Yeah, that's a strong possibility. Last night, I grilled marinated pork chops, big old thick cut jokers, about inch and a quarter thick. And I had marinated them. Very girthy.
Yeah.
And then I did a fried egg on top of them and crumbled some bacon on top of that. And
wow, that's kind
of
gay.
Can you make dye soup?
I might. That's true, but it was delicious. And I had some home fries fried up that went with it. And then I did some the biscuits in a can, you know, canned biscuits. They're just so simple, you know.
Ken, get an EKG.
They're delicious.
Canned biscuits
just
are fine.
Get checked out.
Mary B's makes the best.
That's a lot.
Like store biscuits, in my opinion. Mary B's.
We don't have Mary B's around here. Like they're just not in the grocery stores around here.
Well, daggum. Yeah. Did y'all have a good weekend?
I did. What about you, JT?
I can't remember.
I went to Georgia.
How many drinks have you had, JT? If you can't remember,
I had a cocktail and
okay,
beer.
Okay. You just said you couldn't remember. No, I was just checking on you. You know.
Because it went by so fast. I was like, and it's coronavirus time. So I'm like, what's a Saturday?
That's true.
Who even knows? It was good. We just hung out by the pool. Had a whole bunch of nothing.
I bailed. Hey. Finished up our first cutting for this year. 502 rolls. So it was.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. They're big 5x6s. They're big rolls. It was about 250 acres worth of hay. So.
Wow.
Whew, yeah. Wow.
I went to Georgia.
Anyway,
hey Ken, what did gay horses eat?
JT, stop.
Oh gosh.
Hey.
Nice.
Thanks.
What did Josh Brown do?
I'll be here all week.
What did Josh Brown do this weekend?
I went to Georgia because I live in a blue state. So I went down to Georgia and I sat down at a Waffle House for the first time since the beginning of March.
And, I haven't even been back to Waffle House yet. That's probably shame on me for that. But yeah.
So I went to Waffle House, hung out with my dad, went to Home Depot. Me and my brother helped fix his sink in his upstairs bathroom. And then we were working on it, and then we needed a part, and then all the stores were closed. It's like 9 o'clock at night, Saturday night. And so... Mm-hmm. We had to wait till the next day to go get this part from Home Depot, so we had to turn the water off. Well, I had to take a doo-doo, so I drove down to the Quick Trip and got some water, you know, dropped the kids off, at which point I got a text from, I think it was Donahue, of his front porch, and John D. Howard and his girlfriend, who exists, Meredith was hanging out on the front porch, and I was like, give me your address. I'll be there in 20 minutes.
You act kind of surprised that his girlfriend actually exists.
Well, you don't know these days. You don't know. So I had to verify her. She's real. So I went down there, and I got to the Donahue residence, Had to go through security.
Atlanta Braves man's Atlanta Braves man 69 is Josh is John D's Howard's handle is what Josh is trying to hint at here.
Yeah, I had to go through Doug's security system, and I had to get checked by Corona. He has like a Corona checkpoint thing before you get into the estate.
Oh,
there's like tents and stuff like that, and so I had to get checked.
They make you turn your head and cough.
Yeah. I had to get checked, and I had to go through security and everything, and they had to pat me down and all that stuff. So I finally get to his driveway, and then I park, and then beautiful house, and then we hung out on the front porch, and we talked about all kinds of stuff. And me and Nikki Donahue got into a pretty heated debate about hometown versus fixer-upper.
Oh, no.
And she is passionately.
Did she shiplap whip you?
She shiplap whipped me like I've never been shiplap whipped before in my life, dude.
She beat the shiplap out of you. You need the shiplap beat out of you.
I'm still recovering. And the thing about Nikki is like she's really smart, and like she's just like, it's not like getting shiplap from anybody. You know what I mean? Like when she's shiplap, she's a youth pastor. You know, and she's just like this sweet, intelligent person, and like so when she's shiplaps you, it's not like anybody shiplaps. So I got shiplapped, and so she told me what she thought, and she's like, listen, this is why Fixer Upper is better, and this is why hometown sucks. And she ripped apart my whole argument, and then she goes, I'd like to hear your thoughts, Josh. And I was like, there's nothing I can say, Nikki. There's nothing I can say. And so
I don't believe this story at that moment, because I've never seen Josh at a moment when there was nothing he could say, unless it was because I had made him so angry by arguing with him that he literally walked away from the keyboard.
I mean, I didn't have much of a rebuttal. Her argument was so good, and
what was the premise of her argument, Joshua?
Basically, Nikki Donahue feels like Ben and Aaron on Hometown are fake.
Ah.
And Nikki's so convincing that now I don't even know it's real anymore. I don't even know.
You know, I've never seen an episode of Hometown.
So I love it. Like, I love it. Now I don't even know. I'm so confused, because what she said kind of makes sense, but I don't believe it. But I kind of do believe it, because it's Nikki Donahue. She's got a direct line to the Lord. And so she knows. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man.
Like Nikki Donahue is a Southeastern gin hat maker. So yeah,
right.
Like I imagine her is like the SEC version of Jen Hatmaker. So
it's kind of amazing that a pastor of any sort married Jeff Donahue.
That's
actually very true.
Well, that's
maybe it's like her.
They're missionaries. It's her sweet work.
I guess so. Like you know when you're shackled to someone, you know, Paul made the statement, who will deliver me from this body of death? I imagine Nikki can, like, really relate to Paul in those moments where, you know, Jeff's shackled to her, except for, you know, all the money Jeff has, that part.
We're giving JT all the material that he needs. We're just lofting it up there at him.
Yes. Kenny talked about them shackling to each other, and then Josh mentioned missionaries, so... I am just sitting here behaving, letting you guys talk. Because I love Nikki and I love Jeff and them.
John D. Howard's girlfriend's nice. Really sweet. She doesn't say a lot, but when she does say things, it's like, you know, she's one of those people that like thinks before she speaks. You ever met those types?
That's not what John needs.
Oh, I hate people that think about what they're
going to say. That's not what John needs. Somebody needs to like yell at John and tell him to like, you know,
that's
like,
what I
don't
think. Yeah.
Maybe that's what Josh is calling, is to y'all be in like a threesome marriage together, and Josh be John's outspoken voice, and Meredith be the voice of wisdom.
I mean, I'll do it if I have to.
Right.
But also, John D. Howard is super fit. Like, no homo, is but he? Like when he
runs,
he does runs more than places. Running. He doesn't. He doesn't tell us. There's something else going on. He works out. He does something.
He sent a gym picture the other day. You didn't see that? He was quarantine gymming. Like, he was afraid he was going to get in trouble because he was quarantine gymming.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Because he hugged me.
Yeah.
And, like, it was like hugging, like, a statue or something, man.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sorry. I glanced down
or like a
at
mannequin.
My phone, which happened to have Twitter open, and it's showing people walking around with giant inner tubes around them to be sure that they have 6 feet of space. And I'm not sure what is going on in the world anymore. I'm pretty sure everyone has lost their goddamn minds.
Yeah, they have. Have y'all read the MLB proposed like health guidelines? Should they come back this year?
Yes.
Is it not?
These people are trying to take spitting right out of baseball.
No high fives? No high fives? Like, it's stupid.
If you smile, you're suspended for 90.
We can't hug. Shit ever, man. These are things it said. No hugs, no spitting, no chewing tobacco, no sunflower seeds, no, there would be
no high-fiving.
Walk-off celebrations, no high-fiving. So you can't have, like, walk-off celebrations. Players would sit in the stands, not in the dugouts. There can be no physical touching except for physical touching involved in the sport. So, like, if you're sliding into second, obviously someone could tag you out. But, like, you're not supposed to slap anybody on the butt after that, sending them back to the dugout, you know, et cetera, et cetera. On top of this, Manfred also decided this is a good time to protect the Astros, and that was any physical violence at all, like beating someone, whatever, intentionally, would be met with extreme punishment. That was the words they used, extreme punishment and significant fines. Like,
that's fine. Okay, Manfred doesn't understand this is baseball, and they take notes. And if they got to roll over to 2021, they will.
Yeah, we've lost the plot, man.
Hello.
This is like I've lost all hope in humanity. I really have. You know?
Yeah.
Here's what they need to do. You simply have a waiver form. If you'd like to play baseball this year, you sign this waiver. If you don't, there will be no repercussions. We're not going to hold it against you, but we'll just replace you for this year. If you'd like to stay home, you can stay home. If you're serious about playing baseball and you want to play, here you go.
Yeah.
There you go. It's that simple. And you just, it's a hold harmless agreement. They sign it. If I get COVID, because look, no baseball players are dying from coronavirus.
Right.
They're athletes.
Yeah.
If they get coronavirus, they're going to have a slight fever and a cough and they'll be done with it in 3 days. They're not going to die from it because they're in good shape. Simple as that. So you just sign the waiver. If you feel like playing, not. If not, then hey, that's okay too. You're right. Then you can stay home.
Yep.
But we're going to field a team, and if you don't play, then we'll bring somebody else up. We've got, you know, a AAA, AA, single-A rookie ball team. We can replace you with somebody if you don't want to play. There will be nothing held against you if you don't play. We're not going to fire you.
Unfortunately, due to some technical difficulties, JT's microphone cut out for the rest of this episode. So things seem a little awkward here and there. We've tried to patch together an episode to get you at least the gist of what was said. Thanks for being patient with us.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it, JT. It's really crazy that they've just gone so, everyone has gone so overboard out of fear. And, like, I out of the three of us, I'm probably, like, the most middle of the road on being safe and protected and all this kind of stuff, you know? Because I do believe it's a pretty dangerous virus. I do think we need to be pretty safe about some things. And yet, even I think people have gone completely crazy and lost the entire plot, you know?
Everywhere you go. Like, right now, the mindset, as long as the mindset is this, and it's not going to change, in my opinion, but right now, the mindset is, we have to save everybody. Nobody can get this. Nobody. We need it down to 0%. Like, that's the mindset these idiots have. And so as long as that mindset is there, we're never going to enjoy a baseball game or a football game.
Nope.
We're not. That is the mindset. I mean, I see these people on TV all day. Like, that is how they think. We need a vaccine. We need a cure. Nobody can get
this. And you
know,
the next step will be that the vaccine is mandatory. You know, that's what they're going to try to say is that you have to get the vaccine. And, like, I'm not, like, one of these crazy anti-vaxxers. I get a vaccine. I take the flu shot every year.
It's
so
getting
I'm not,
that crazy.
I'm just – it's just that, like, insane that they're going to try to make you take it.
I think so.
Is what the peer pressure is going to be. You know,
I think in 2 years, you'll be applying for a job, and part of that application will be, like, are you vaccinated for coronavirus? And
– yeah.
I think that's where we're going. Because we're stupid. Because we are the dumbest – people in the history of the entire human race.
It's stupid. Men in Black says, a person is smart, people are dumb, panicky, and flighty, and you know it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, well, I read a research paper, a very independent research paper today, that said that as best estimate as possible, it has about a 1.3% mortality rate. That was like from a very, like, completely independent study. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't right wing or left wing. That being said, like, 1.3% is just barely above what you get from the flu. So it's kind of crazy, you know? It's like,
yeah, and then you got, like, you got Stanford. Their study said 0.1 to 0.2%. And then UCLA did one, and they had about the same, 0.1 to 0.2. I mean, whether it's 0.1 to 0.2 or what you just said, the fact that we have lost the plot as a society over this is so absolutely dumb. It's so stupid. And it's everywhere you go. Like, I'm at Home Depot. You're checking out, and there's like these makeshift little plexiglass things now, you know? And it's just, you know, and every store. I want to know how much money's invested in this bullshit. Like, if you're a Food Lion, how much money have you spent to have some company make these 6 feet apart stickers that you put down on the floor everywhere, you know? Right?
Yeah.
And it's not just like, listen, I know I troll the left, you know, on here and on Twitter. It ain't just Democrats. You know what I mean?
It's like all down kinds the road, of crazy people.
There's a country store called Cove Creek General Store that I go to, and when this first started happening, I walk in there one day. This is probably mid March, and Bubba's got him a hanging plexiglass thing, you know, and it looks terrible. It's kind of hanging and it's totally in the way, you know. And I'm left-handed, so I've always got to like get around these things to sign stuff, you know. And so I asked, are the local county officials making you do that or something now, you know, thinking that that's why it was there? He goes, and he's got his face mask on. This was like mid-March. And he's like, no, I'm just, you know, with this going around, you know, I'm just tired of people sneezing all over me. And I was like, I said, people sneeze on you? Well, you know, you never know these days. Right. You don't. And like, I'm at Kroger Saturday with my dad. Kroger, you're walking around, there's like elevator music, and then every couple minutes you'll hear like an automated, like, make sure you wash your hands and don't shake hands, use your elbow or wave. It, like, what? We're living in this weird shit going. It's so weird. And then these things say, if you sneeze, make sure you cover your mouth when you sneeze and when you cough. It's like, no shit. Like, we've been washing our hands for ever. We've been covering our mouth when we sneeze, you know? Like, it's so dumb.
Well, I mean, so like,
I'm done with
I'll play devil's advocate a little bit here, because I do think taking steps is wise.
Well, and yeah, the reason I say but that, there's something you don't have to
my
say.
My second cousin died this week of COVID, okay? He got it. He was 61 years old. He died of COVID in a nursing home in Middle Georgia. He had been in jail for a long time. He was in nursing home as kind of like a halfway house, and they were hoping he was going to get to come home eventually. But he died from COVID. That being said, like, there's a middle ground that makes sense here. I mean, and so, like, I guess what I'm saying is I don't mind people taking some extra steps. I don't even mind some of the plexiglass stuff and those kinds of things, especially if you have a lot of senior citizens that come through, or it's not just about protecting the cashier, but about protecting the people coming through to some extent. Like, if my 60 or 70-year-old grandmother has to, 80-year-old grandmother has to go to the grocery store, I appreciate them trying to do that. That being said, I don't think you have to lock down the entire economy and every last person have to follow every rule. I mean, and when you come back to baseball, I think that's where it's insane is, like, what is so crazy to me about baseball is you have the prime opportunity to launch your sport and grow your sport more than any opportunity baseball's had since the 90s. Because there's nothing else on TV.
Yeah,
at
point.
All. They said Fox Sports 1 had one of their soccer leagues come on in the middle of the night the other night, and it drew a 720% higher rating than the previous soccer game before the COVID shutdown. Meaning, people are starved to watch anything on TV. It doesn't matter if they're even closely related to it or not. I mean, ESPN, I think they're kind of killing it with this whole KBO thing where they're showing Korean baseball. If what makes no sense to me is players and owners, and we'll get more into that later, but players and owners not able to get out of their own way and recognize we could all make trillions probably if we just put our sport back on television. Like, if we just play games,
this is what happens.
Baseball will catch football.
But they're not. They're not thinking like you because they're Democrats, Ken. If you're a Democrat, you don't think this way.
I don't think it's just Democrat. I think it's a lot of what JT said. Like, they're litigious and they're worried about CYA. You know, like, if they don't cover themselves, they're afraid they're going to get sued.
You don't think Rob Manfred's a Democrat?
I don't. Not really.
Oh, come on.
Probably not.
You're crazy.
I think most owners are probably not.
You think Rob...
I don't know that he's a Republican. I think he's probably socially pretty liberal. But I think at the end of the day, owners, for the most part, I think owners lean right. I'm not saying they're all right, that they're all conservative, because obviously that's not the case. But I do think fiscally they tend to lean right.
Yeah, probably. But
because they're billionaires.
Rob Manfred definitely voted for Hillary, like 100%.
Well, that's probably true. He's from Boston. I think everyone in Boston voted for Hillary. I'm just saying.
You'd be surprised. I bet Bill Newcomb didn't vote for Hillary.
He didn't vote for Ryan. I know that much. let's talk a little bit deeper about this baseball thing, because everyone's upset that owners don't want to pay players and that owners are being greedy and that players, like Blake Snell said, I got to get mine, and that players are worried about safety and all this kind of stuff. And everybody's saying, why, Ken, do you defend the owners? And I, at no point, first of all, I got into this discussion with this girl on Twitch who – not Twitch, on Twitter, who wanted to...
I wouldn't really call it a discussion, Kenny. It's not a discussion when two people don't participate. You know what I mean? Like, you were trying to have a discussion with a fucking pineapple is what I saw. So
something like that.
JT,
I mean,
has no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. I was just trying to explain that our owners being greedy, probably. Like, to be 100% honest, baseball players have already signed an agreement. They should probably get paid the agreement they've signed upon. All of that is 100% true. Like, at the end of the day, Dylan Short screaming at the moon saying baseball players should get paid is probably 100% right. Here's why it's 100% wrong. And what I mean by that is, logically, it makes sense for baseball players to be paid. Morally, it makes sense for baseball players to be paid. But when 30% of America is unemployed right now and has no job,
yeah,
I don't give a crap how little the ownership is offering you to play a game that's already going to pay you, even at the minimum. I mean, at the very least they could possibly pay you this year is going to be $500,000. I won't see $500,000 for like 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, 20 years probably. You know, like, there's just, it's not happening. So much less you talk about millions. And then people go, I can't believe you take the side of the billionaires against the millionaires. Honey, after a certain point, they're all the same. I don't care if it's billionaires or millionaires. They all got more money than any of us unemployed folks are going to have. Like, I don't care. I don't give a rip about your favorite baseball player that's devoted his life to playing a game, not getting paid because you shut the economy down when you play in an it's a non-essential job. If they never pay you again, it's okay with me. I don't care.
Yeah.
And So I'm not going to give a crap if you don't get paid to play a game for a living, especially a game. I love the game. I love baseball. I love the history and everything behind it. That being said, the 30% of Americans that don't have a job, I guarantee you they love having a job more than they love the game of baseball. So they don't give a crap what you think you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't get paid what we deserve. We get paid what we're worth most of the time. Not
always.
There you go. This girl that was arguing me made the statement. She said, "Who hurt you so bad that you feel like players are your own little entertainment monkeys?" And I'm like,
That's literally what they are. Yeah.
Like, you, okay, so here's the problem. When you create a sport built around fanatics and creating fanatics, and me literally buying jerseys with your name on it as if I own a part of you, and you even sell shares in the team where you can own a piece of the Atlanta Braves as a Braves owner because you bought shares in the team, right? Like, when you do that, you are literally telling the customer, you own a piece of us, and therefore it's our job to entertain you. It's not your job to pitch. Your job has never been to pitch. It's been to entertain the people watching the game. Just by signing a major league contract, they get health insurance for life. They play one day in the majors, they get health insurance for life. Right. That payment right there is enough for and look, this is what's insane to me. Not only are they being paid millions, or take the lowest paid players. Like, take like Lane Adams, who sucks and only gets to play like, you know, a month out of the year because he's a replacement level player. He's still making like $500,000 a year. And on top of that, he can probably eke out a 15 or 20 year career on top of that, and then retire at age 40 and never work again the rest of his life. Ever.
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to. Yeah, and I'm not even defending the billionaires. I mean, they're totally being greedy as heck right here, because that's what capitalists do. But you know what the problem is? This is the problem baseball has. Players did not fight on a battlefield when they had a good battlefield to fight on. So Tony Clark got them good chefs and got them good clubhouses rather than getting them good, strong control for their union when there was an actual time to debate.
I don't even care about their control.
Now you've got a battlefield. Now you're looking at a battlefield that's already seated against you. Yeah. Players cannot win this argument because fans aren't going to hear it. You're being offered
thousands of dollars to play a game. Unless you're on Twitter.
Yeah, but Twitter's
then
not
you're
real.
Woke, then you're woke and you're an analytical genius, and then you feel bad for the players, you know, because you're an intellectual. But like, the thing is, like, with Blake Snell, I listened to Blake Snell, his Twitch video, I heard it on the radio, where he did this rant about this, and I really wanted to punch him in his face, because it's not in a vacuum. Like, the way he talks about it and the way the pineapples of the world on Twitter talk about it is like, these people are being ostracized, you know, and being taken advantage of. And I'm like, these motherfuckers have had guaranteed contracts for the past, you know, decades, right? I mean, I remember Mike Hampton, when he played for the Braves, he was like the highest paid player 1 year, and he didn't play a game, right? That's baseball. So I don't feel bad for you when we're going through a pandemic.
Let me take it a step further, Josh.
Yeah.
Because Boggy dropped this stat. I want to come back to what you were saying. Bruce Sutter, if no player gets paid this year, Bruce Sutter will be the highest paid baseball player in America this year.
And I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit, you know? It's all guaranteed. And their argument to that, JT, right now is, well, we agreed upon this negotiation thing, you know, which it is true. They agreed to it about a month ago, I guess, right? And now, you know, MLB's kind of backtracking. Well, I don't blame them. I don't blame them, man. I don't blame them. But on one hand, I don't even – it's funny. Like, on one hand, I'm taking their side, but on one hand, I'm like, I hate the MLB right now just because of their proposed health guideline bullshit. Like, I don't even want them to play baseball, you know, but if they did play baseball, I'm on the owner's side right now. I just am. And again, it's what Ken said. The lowest paid player would get $500,000.
Okay. And I'm not
during
even,
a pandemic.
Like,
you're telling me during a pandemic,
and I'm not
while
even
everybody else is
again.
Yeah. 30%
unemployment. The owners are being total greedy. The owners being greedy as can be right now, no doubt. But they position themselves to be able to.
I don't blame them, though, because if they can't sell tickets, they can't have fans. I'd be greedy, too. I'd be pissed off, too. And you know what I mean? So, I mean, I can't be mad at the owners. Even some of the smarter baseball players, which there's only like three of them, like Trevor Bauer. Even guys like Trevor Bauer right now, I love Trevor Bauer, y'all. And I think Trevor Bauer is a super smart guy. But even he is just making ridiculous analogies about this. I mean, he was trying to compare baseball players to Amazon workers and stuff. And I'm like, shut up, dude. Shut up. Shut up, Trevor. You're a really smart guy. I like you, Trevor, but shut the fuck up.
And see, this is the thing. Players can make all the reasonably correct arguments that they want in the world right now, and no one cares. Because when you've already lost the battle, because people that don't have a job don't give a crap that you're in the right. Like, it doesn't matter. You lost this.
Exactly.
This when
isn't
you
a normal
didn't
season.
Negotiate
this
more.
Like,
right.
Yeah. This is like 2014. Right. There's a strike going on, some weird shit going on, and there's a battle between players. No, this is a pandemic, and like 30% of Americans are out of jobs, and the ones that have jobs have had pay cuts, and you know what I mean? So nobody gives a shit, buddy.
Yeah.
Nobody gives two shits about your bitch ass bitching on Twitch. Get off Twitch, first of all, you loser. You're on Twitch.
There's nothing wrong with Twitch.
You're a grown-ass man
on
Twitch.
There's nothing wrong with Twitch.
Bitching about your employer. Shut up, Blake Snell. Nobody cares. Like JT said.
My culmination may one day be on Twitch. We hold nothing against Twitch, just FYI.
Nobody would recognize Blake Snell if I saw Blake Snell. He could even be like I bet like 90% of Rays fans don't even recognize Blake Snell.
Want to support the nation's leading replacement-level podcast? Put your money where your mouth is, fellow degenerates. And visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For only $5 a month, you'll get access to behind-the-scenes episodes and patron-exclusive podcasts. And you'll be supporting your favorite knuckleheads. Visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation.
You know, this is the thing, though. And this is bigger than just the baseball thing, because I think we're guilty of getting into this sometimes too, Josh. Like, it's easy to get into arguments with people, and because you're right, think you're in the right for the argument. You know what I'm saying? Like, baseball players may be right that they deserve their money. Like, technically, they may be in the right, but it doesn't make their argument right. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm guilty of this too. Like, and so there's times I argue with you guys and I do the exact same thing where I'm arguing what's right, but it's not necessarily right to argue it. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Like, it 90% of the country are 9-year-olds. Like, when it comes to baseball, like, that's all. Well, like, college football said, we're not worried about it. We're gonna let kids back on campus June 1st, and then we're gonna have games come August. You know, like, that's what makes no sense to me, is why you miss this opportunity. And I guess this is that whole the bigger your organization is, the more clumsy it gets and the more clunky it gets. And I think that's what baseball is dealing with right now, is they've gotten so big that they can't be agile. And if you look, like, soccer, Korean baseball, they're narrower. They're not near as big a leagues, but they're able to be really agile. And so they moved into the market space, and they're killing it because of it.
I heard Korean
baseball's never been this watched.
Yeah. I heard the Florida governor on a press conference today. I don't know his name, but I kind of like the guy.
Ron DeSantis. Yeah, DeSantis.
Yeah, he goes he's opening stuff back up, and he's catching a lot of shit for it. And he's like I said the other day, if you're a sports franchise and your state's not letting you operate at all, you can come here. You can come here. He goes, this morning I was watching SportsCenter, and it was all Korean baseball. He's like, it was cool, but like, how can they have games, but we can't right now? He's like, just come to Florida. There's lots of places to play.
Yeah, and you know he said that? He said that, and California Today said, we would like to have sports teams open within a week. And they made that statement like California's been on hardcore lockdown, and now other states are like having success. Yeah. Not just all summer. They were saying they might not play sports until 2021, which was insane in California.
JT brought up the fact that Preston Tucker is killing it right now.
Dude, he is. He's got like 6 home runs in a week or something.
I thought he was supposed to take Markakis' spot or something like that. Because wasn't that supposed to happen? Wasn't he supposed to take Cakes and they were going to like release Markakis or something? Is that what?
That was what bloggers said.
Month.
He hit like 17 home runs in that month. And then they replaced him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then they traded him.
And you know why? And you know
they traded him to Cincinnati.
And you know why? And you know why that happened, gentlemen? Because you know what? We know it, but let's tell the people. Baseball is a marathon, not a sprint. So when a guy like Preston Tucker is on fire for 3 weeks and you make podcasts and write articles about how Preston Tucker should take Markakis' spot on a baseball team, because baseball is a marathon, not a sprint, you are going to look like an idiot while we will be the kings.
Are also going to look like idiots.
Of the baseball world. Just...
they traded him to Cincinnati in that deal with Matt Whistler. Yeah, I think so.
For Adam Duvall.
Duvall, was the main piece, I think. And it got a closer, too, out of that. I mean, not a closer, but a relief pitcher, too, I think, in all that deal. I don't remember who it was now. I think we did, though. I might be wrong on that. Yeah. Well, we don't have Matt Whistler, so that was
Cy Whistler.
Sorry, Josh. I swear his eyes are ready about to pop out of his head.
He's gonna be great.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when the Braves were at Fenway, and Whistler's in the game? Whistler's in the game, and hang on, and Mookie Betts is up to bat.
And, yeah, that was a bad.
They brought him in to face Mookie Betts on live television at Fenway. And of course, like all the
this
Braves,
was pre Josh's love for Brian Snicker too. This was when you still hated Snicker.
All the Braves bloggers were losing their shit. I was questioning Brian Snicker at the time too. But looking back on it, I was like, you know what? Like that was we talked about it that week on the podcast. Actually, it was we called it genius by Brian Snicker because had Matt Whistler imagine if Matt Whistler struck out Mookie Betts, you know, which was a very I think. Snicker's a smart man. He knew that the chances are very slim. But if our boy Matt Whistler strikes out Mookie Betts in the situation, this could change his whole life, his whole season, you know? But it didn't. He wasn't the worst. It wasn't like that.
He was the worst. Yeah, he was the worst. Aaron Blair was maybe the only other option.
Y'all remember when Aaron Blair got drunk that night and like cussed out all these Braves fans on Twitter? This was like 4 years ago. He didn't.
He had kind of the whole CC Sabathia. What was that dude's name?
And even CC's not
David
ugly
Wells.
In the face.
Like, David Wells.
Aaron
kinda,
Blair's
kind of body.
Aaron Blair, like
Aaron Blair, was also hated by most bloggers because he wore a MAGA hat one time. Y'all remember that?
Oh, I don't know if I remember that.
Yeah, I think it was a MAGA hat. I think that's what he got hated for. I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah, I think I remember. I don't think I saw that, but I think I saw the tweet after that because he was like explaining it or something, or saying like it's a free country and I can, you know, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings or something like that.
Yeah, he should have never said that part. He should have just said screw all of y'all. Feel like I won't, but you know.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I agree.
That's gonna do it for this week's episode of the Not Combination Podcast Show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. We've got some brand new shirts that you guys should check out. They're pretty sweet looking. We've got the Not Combination Trolling Company shirt. We have Not Combination Slaughterhouse. We've got Not Combination Diving shirts. We've got Not Combination Bird Dog shirts. Pointer brand. Bird dogs. We catch all the birds. And we've got Not Combination Outdoor Excursions. Come pitch a tent with us. So check those out. shop.spreadshirt.com/Not Combination. Yes, JT. Yeah, 100%. 100%. 100%, children. Thanks for listening. It's been a great week.
Speak for yourselves.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Nakahoma Nation is brought to you by Nakahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/Nakahoma Nation. For new episodes and content, visit nakahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Auctions Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.